Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we are very much concerned about our dear sister Vinci at this time. We know that there are many situations beyond our expectation and beyond our control. We believe in your sovereignty, your authority, your power, and in your kingdom authority. We commit her to your grace, to the touch of your healing, and to your special blessing. Pray for comfort, consolation, hope, peace, and strength for the family. Bless our time as we study your wonderful word. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I think it was almost 12 years ago, we had the opportunity to study about spiritual gifts. This is a very vital topic, not only from a doctrinal standpoint, but from a practical standpoint also. It affects all of us in the body of Christ, young and old. Men and women, boys and girls, because our involvement in the local assembly and our service to the Lord is through the mechanism what the Bible calls as the spiritual gifts. So it is through the exercise of our spiritual gifts or the God-given ability for spiritual service. That would be the simplest definition of a spiritual gift. The simplest definition is, we will get into more detailed definitions, but the simplest definition of a spiritual gift is, it is a God-given ability upon each and every member of the body of Christ to serve the Lord for spiritual service. So, it is very important for us to understand that. There are many, many doctrinal truths involved in this study, which we will get into, and also the practical application of many of the things that we read about spiritual gifts in the Word of God. Now, the importance of spiritual gifts. Why the spiritual gift? This study is important. Number one, the way I see it in the light of God's word, it will enable you to study the prominence of spiritual gifts in the Bible. The Bible gives lot of prominence for this topic. That is the topic of spiritual gifts. For example, in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, we have the description of spiritual gifts with some doctrinal insight. Then in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13 and 14 are written in the context of spiritual gifts. Even though 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about love, that chapter is not written in the context of a wedding service or marriage or about family life, even though we have an application in that relationship. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the whole chapter is about spiritual gifts, and the 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is all about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 dwells more on the doctrine of spiritual gifts, and 1 Corinthians 14 dwells more on the exercise, the orderly exercise of spiritual gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. How to exercise? What are the regulative principles? What are the controlling guidelines? What are the things we should bear in mind when we exercise spiritual gifts in the gathering of God's people? So that is 14. But in between, sandwich, it's like a sandwich structure. In between, chapter 13 talks about love, because the Corinthians believed that if you have lot of spectacular gifts like prophecy or speaking in tongues, especially speaking in tongues, that's all what you need in life, that you are spiritually an elite group and you are like super saints and you have advantage over others. You can manipulate things. And that led to a kind of a spiritual pride in the lives of many probably in Corinth. So that may be the reason that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13 to remind them that even if we have all the wonderful gifts and abilities and oratory and all the communication skills, all knowledge and wisdom, everything, if we don't exercise these things, minister these blessings in our life, if you don't do it in a spirit of love, it is absolutely a zero. So that is the context of 1 Corinthians 13. Exercise your spiritual gifts in grace and in love for the building up of the body of Christ without any superiority complex or inferiority complex, knowing that the Lord has blessed each one of us with a spiritual gift or more than one spiritual gift, and exercise it, do business with it, and develop it, and use it for God's glory and the blessing of God's people. So, the prominence of this topic, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, and in between about the importance of love, then Romans chapter 12, again deals with about spiritual gifts. Easy to remember, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. Both of these chapters deal with spiritual gifts. Also 1 Corinthians 14 about the exercise. The entire chapter is devoted to that. And 13 about the spirit of love in which we must exercise spiritual gifts. Then Ephesians, we will look into these passages as we go along. In Ephesians chapter 4 verses 7 through 12, again we read about the doctrine of spiritual gifts. And particularly some leadership equipping gifts are mentioned. Those gifted men are mentioned. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers are given to the church. So it is not only the gifts, all the other passages talks about gifts. But this passage not only talks about gifts, but gifted men whom the Lord has given to his church for the purpose of equipping, teaching and training the body of Christ so that the believers may be equipped and trained and serve the Lord and serve one another with maturity. And they may also grow in Christ-likeness. So, First Ephesians chapter 4, 7 through 16, that long passage, talks about spiritual gifts again. Then, again, two verses in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, talks about spiritual gifts. So, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, 1 Peter chapter 4, Ephesians 4, all talk about both the doctrine and practice of spiritual gifts. Now, even if we read a truth in the Word of God, and even if it is mentioned only one time, it is important. But look at the repetition of this truth about spiritual gifts, about its doctrine and about its practice. That means the amount of space and the amount devoted to it should catch our attention, that the Spirit of God is reminding us that this is very, very important. It's not just mentioned one time, it is mentioned several times. And there are numerous other verses that refer to spiritual gifts. But these passages which I have highlighted here are the major central passages in the New Testament that talk about the doctrine of spiritual gifts. Now, number two, knowing your spiritual gifts will enable you to find your right place in the ministry of the local church. So that's a very practical truth. If I know how to know your spiritual gifts, we will get into that. I know we all are very much interested to know the practical application of it, you know. But before we get into the practical side, the doctrinal foundation has to be settled. Then only we will be able to appreciate and appropriate and practice the spiritual gifts which the Lord has given to us in a way that would honor Him and that would bring blessing to others. So, knowing your spiritual gifts will enable you to find your right place in the ministry of the local church. That means, once we know that these are the gifts, or this is the gift the Spirit of God has given to me, I will probably concentrate more on that area of ministry. Even though I may willingly and voluntarily partake and participate in other ministries, that would make me aware that that is not my lead strength. You know, I like that word and I frequently use it. That is not my lead strength. So I should not be unnecessarily getting involved in certain areas of ministry where the Lord has not gifted and equipped me to do it. That's a very important truth, but you know, seldom emphasized. If the Lord has equipped you with a certain spiritual gift or gifts in the plural, once you discover that and once you know it, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you must devote more time to exercise those spiritual gifts and refrain from other areas also, because there may be other people who may be able to do it more effectively. So that's a very practical truth this doctrine of spiritual gifts bring to our attention. What is my right place in the body of Christ? How the Lord has equipped me? What does He expect of me in my involvement in ELBC? Now, all of us can do many, many things or everything to some extent, but there are certain things which you can do or I can do more effectively, because God has given you that spiritual capacity to perform that ministry for His glory. So knowing your spiritual gifts will enable you to find your right place in the ministry of the local church. That is, serving where God has gifted you and minimizing your service in the areas where God has not gifted you. So this is how I see it. If I serve the Lord continually in areas where the Lord has not gifted me, there is definitely a possibility that my ministry in the sense, not necessarily word ministry means service. My service in the body of Christ may not be very, very effective. So if I am constantly trying to do something what the Lord has not called me or equipped me to do, and I can do it to some extent, but at the same time, if I compete for that, if I covet for that, if I try to, you know, do more than what the Lord expects me to do in that area, that can be a wasted energy. But the flip side of it, that is, if the Lord has equipped you in one area or more than one area, and if you are not committed to the Lord and to the assembly, and in your Christian life, not walking with the Lord diligently, you just become a spectator and you just show up once in a while and don't want to get involved in anything, even though the Lord has gifted you in one or more than multiple areas, then it becomes unused energy. See, one side it is wasted energy, on the other side it is unused energy. In any way, there will be an energy crisis if we don't really follow the scriptural teaching of spiritual gifts. It can create an energy crisis in the assembly. Number three, knowing your spiritual gifts will help you to discern God's will concerning your service or ministry in the body of Christ. Again, you know, it is almost the same truth in number two, but I have amplified its application little more. That is, knowing God's will concerning our service. Lord, in which way shall I serve the Lord in the body of believers here in ELBC? You have brought me here. You have given me an opportunity here to serve you. So, thinking and pondering and praying and trying to know God's will, taking it seriously, you know, like people always ask the question, especially young people, in relation to whom to marry, what kind of career I should take, I should pursue, you know, what shall be my occupation, how can I know the will of God? People always ask this question. But even a more important question is, Lord, what is your will concerning my ministry? I'm not talking about, you know, full-time ministry. I'm talking about our daily service and involvement in the body of Christ, because all of us are saved to serve the Lord. There is a purpose for saving us. And the purpose is that we should serve the Lord as His people, as His priests, as His witnesses. So, praying for God's direction and guidance in the area of spiritual gifts. And seldom we don't challenge one another about praying for God's will in relation to your spiritual gift. Even though we are very busy and interested in knowing God's will about thousand and other one thing, we seldom think about finding God's will about my spiritual gift, my spiritual ability, my spiritual calling, so that I can serve the Lord more effectively. So, in order to plug into the ministry of a local church, this awareness is very, very important. This awareness about spiritual gifts, about its doctrine, about its application, so that we must be able to plug into the ministry of the local church more effectively. Continuing again, the importance of studying spiritual gifts. We have looked at three main points. Number four, it will enable you to prioritize your ministries with clear focus, dedication, and greater zeal. Now, as I reminded you, all of us should pitch in and help as and when there is a need. And, you know, we should help one another. You know, the Word of God tells, you know, pray for one another, exhort one another, teach one another, be hospitable to one another, help one another. It doesn't say depending on your gift in parentheses, no. These are things, commands given to all of us. That means we should and we must, and we must be willing to do all these things to some extent. But at the same time, we also must prioritize our time, our resources, and our energy with clear focus and dedication and greater zeal where the Lord has specially called you and equipped you. Because that is where the Lord will use you more, and that is where you will be a greater blessing to God's people. So I believe in prioritizing our ministry. I may do this, I may do that, I may be involved in different things, but Lord, what is the spiritual gift or gifts you have given to me in your will, plan, and purpose? And knowing that and being convinced about it, I will be able to focus more with dedication and zeal to that particular area, so that my ministry and service will be more effective to God's people, and God's name may be glorified as a result of that. Now, spiritual gifts are a matter of your stewardship. That also is a less emphasized truth. Because when we think about stewardship, you know, I have taken classes on stewardship. I have read, I have studied, and I have listened to many seminars on stewardship. It is always about stewardship of time, stewardship of talents, stewardship of treasures, wealth, money, and you know, things like that. Stewardship of truth, which God has committed to us. That is my addition to the other three. You know, I must be faithful. I must be a faithful steward to the truths which the Lord has committed to me also. Now, I must also be a faithful steward of the gifts and abilities which the Lord has given to me. So, we will read that verse because it's a very important verse. That is what Peter emphasizes in relation to spiritual gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4. It will be good to locate that passage and to know it in your Bible, where it is and what does it mean. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. We read about spiritual gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 10. As each one has received a gift, spiritual gift, minister, that means minister always means serve, okay? Minister, serving. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So your spiritual ability which the Lord has given to you is a manifestation of the abundance of God's grace in your life. And you must be a good steward of that. Now, what is required of a steward? Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Apostle Paul calls himself a steward. And what does he teach us about stewardship? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful, not successful. Okay? That is the world's idea, that you should be successful in ministry, you should be successful in your career, all those things. Okay? But what the Lord expects us, you know, success in the Bible is our faithfulness to the Lord. When I'm faithful, I'm successful. That is why the New Testament does not use the word success, even though the Old Testament uses the word success, especially in the book of Joshua. If you obey it, wherever you go, you will have success. Why that is missing in the New Testament? Because there is a refocus in New Testament theology. That is, we are stewards and we are ambassadors, we are witnesses. The Lord has committed certain responsibilities to us. And we must not pursue the path of success somehow, but the path of faithfulness. And when we are faithful, the Lord will consider us as successful. In John's Gospel chapter 15, in that wonderful passage on fruit bearing, the Lord said, abide in me so that you will bear fruit, more fruit and much fruit. So this is the equation in New Testament theology for success. That is, faithfulness plus fruitfulness equals success. That is New Testament theology. You know, faithfulness plus fruitfulness. When I am productive and fruitful, and when I am faithful, then the Lord would consider me as success. And with faithfulness goes the sense of accountability and responsibility. Many of you are in high positions in your secular work, and you know the importance of that stewardship which the company has entrusted to you, that managerial stewardship. And they pay you for it, they take care of all your needs, and they expect you to be not only successful, but be accountable and be responsible. So, Peter reminds us that Spiritual gift is a matter of stewardship. That means we must use it, we must do business with it, we must use it for God's glory, in humility, in grace, and in love, to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our Christian life with a sense of responsibility and accountability. You know, in many of our assembly circles, people learn about spiritual gifts just to prove that the Pentecostal charismatic doctrine is wrong. You know, that's very unfortunate. That is the only time people study about spiritual gifts. At least that's what I have found. Otherwise, people don't care about it because we think we know all about it. Many things are assumed and without properly studied, understood, and applied. No, the only thing the spiritual gifts come is in a debate with the charismatic theology, which we reject. And we must reject it. But at the same time, that is only a very small portion of the doctrine of spiritual gifts. Rest of it, 100% it is applicable to us daily in our Christian life. So, spiritual gift, the importance. Number six, a divinely planned mechanism through which, that is a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts given to us, are sovereignly planned by God to demonstrate and appreciate unity in diversity in the body of Christ. Okay? I will just read one verse before I close. Romans chapter 12. I would invite you to turn to that passage in Romans chapter 12. That we are the body of Christ and many members in that body. So there is a diversity. There is racial diversity, ethical diversity, language diversity in the body of Christ. Even in this body, in this local assembly. But we are striving for unity, not uniformity. You know, there are some gospel halls that promote that uniformity. We are not for that. We are for unity. You know, that is unity in diversity, not uniformity. We are all diverse, different. But in the body of Christ, the Lord expects us to be united. How? By the way, we are various members in the body of Christ, and as we exercise each member, like in the human body, each member, you know, do their part, the body functions smoothly. That is the image or imagery used in 1 Corinthians 12. You read 1 Corinthians 12, the body and the parts, and unity in diversity. Romans 12, that is the doctrinal foundation in which Apostle Paul builds up his theology of spiritual gifts. Romans 12, okay, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same, in KJV it is office, but the word is function, Greek word praxis, activity, function. All do not have the same function. Okay? Let us apply that here now locally in our context. We have many members in ELBC. But all the members in ELBC do not have the same function. Our functions are different. Now, verse 5. So we being many are one body. Many, like in different organs and members in the human body, but one body. In the same way, we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Then look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. See the connection? Different members, different parts, different functions, various functions, but one body. So, how that unity in diversity can be achieved by using the gifts which the Lord has given to us. What a glorious truth, what a practical truth. Each and every doctrinal point of the doctrine of spiritual gift is brimmed, it's overflowing with practical application. So may the Lord help us as we pursue this study for 6 weeks to enlighten our minds and as a result to bring the necessary changes and transformation in our outlook and focus as we serve the Lord in the body of Christ. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for these amazing truths given to us by way of revelation through your apostles and prophets. And we thank you for the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, which we enjoy even this morning, enlightening and illuminating our hearts to understand these truths and to make appropriate applications. Pray that our endeavor of our study in spiritual gifts may be very fruitful, productive, and it may be a very blessed experience for all of us, so that we may serve you in the company of your people and live for your glory, and we may be channels of blessing to others. And to that end, we commend and commit ourselves to you. As we depart now, let thy peace and blessing be upon it, as we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.